Let's pray again as we go into the Word. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before your holy presence again, thanking you for the time, Lord, you've been with us today in our morning services, and it pleased you to bring us back again this evening to continue learning from you through your Word. We thank you for having brought us here, and we are ready to receive again from you. May you teach us your truth, O Lord. We thank you and pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we continue with our series in the book of Judges, it's better to keep reminding ourselves of where we come from. That's the reason why vehicles have side mirrors. It shows you not where you're going, but where you're coming from, so that you don't cause accident. And you wonder, how can you cause accident if you are going forward? No, it helps a lot, a lot. So just to remind ourselves of what we went through in chapter 16, the previous chapter, is that we looked at the tragic end of Samson, or the life of Samson. It was really tragic. The last judge of Israel. He was the last. Even if we are still in the book of Judges, you will not see any other judge. Samson was the last. And his tragic death or end was caused by him breaking the commands of God. We have a lot of lessons there to learn, we who are alive today, that the Lord told him, you are a Nazarite, this is how you need to live, and this thing you need not to do. But he took things for granted. How? When he was tied the first time, they came for him, he cut the chains. The second time, he did that. The third time, he did that. So, it became like tic-tac to him. It became automatic. Yeah, Delilah, you are free to do whatever you want. And you know what is in me. When they come, I'll just do this and I cut. So, he became familiar. And that's how we are, most of us, even these days, most Christians, we become too familiar with the things of God. Ah, Antimu Church, we go there every Sunday, and that's how they preach, and that's how things are. So you become familiar. Familiarity with the things of God, the familiarity with God is very dangerous. These are some of the lessons that just to remind you. So he became too familiar, and he did not follow the commands of God. We saw how someone who was brave, who was feared by the Philistines, became a puppet of his enemies. What a pity. Someone they feared, the whole tribe, the whole nation of the Philistines, they used to fear one person. But how he became at the end their puppet, dole. Do this for us. He does that and they laugh. And they are happy. We saw how God took his power from him. And how someone who was very strong became very weak. Are there strong men of God? Yes and no. Strong men of God are there. Strong servants of God are there. But the strength they have, it comes from the Lord. Otherwise, without God, there's no strong man for God. The strength that all of us try to use by doing whatever we do for God, whether you use your strength to mop here, or to broom here, or to carry chairs from there to here, everything that we do it because he gave it to us to serve him with. And two things put strong men of God down. Two things. The first thing is lifting yourself. The Bible says, whoever will lift himself will be lowered. So if you try to lift yourself to boast, then you will be lowered. And the strength. Then the second one, this one of Samson. Samson did not lift himself. He did not try in any way to lift himself. But for him, he did not walk according to the commands of the Lord. That's the second reason why strong, those who are strong men for God went down. No one is strong among us, among any born again Christian. We are all using the power of God to do what will glorify Him. Try to live the way you want, and you'll be surprised. He will take His power, His strength from you. And if He takes His strength from you, immediately you find yourself a puppet of your enemy. Your enemy today is the devil, Lucifer, Satan. You become his puppet. A puppet is something that obeys the commands of its master. Do this, you do. Do that. Don't do this. Okay. So you become a puppet. How many ministers today are puppets of the devil? How many people, even just Christians, are just puppets of the enemy? He's the one to tell you what to do. Go and look for prostitutes. Go and lie to him and you'll get money. And you do immediately. You become a puppet of the enemy. And that's why we need to serve the Lord with fear and trembling. After Samson, God did not raise another judge, another person to judge Israel. So they were without any judge, without any king. And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. What a tragedy. And in the following chapters, we are going to see how, as a result of not having a leader, idolatry prevailed in Israel to the end of this book of Judges. Idolatry. Now we are entering pure idolatry. They've been always, all along they've been worshipping other gods, idols. But now they are entering Muchin too. Formally, officially, they are now entering into idolatry officially. And in chapter 17, we'll see how idolatry was initiated in Dan by a family. By a family. And later, a whole tribe took over or followed. And we are going to look at idolatry in Dan. Dan is a tribe, one tribe of among the 12. Yeah, so we have here the practice of idolatry in a family, then the practice of idolatry by a tribe. And today we are just concentrating on this part one, the practice of idolatry in a family. That is in this chapter 17. Then in chapter 18 we'll see how a whole tribe now went into practicing idolatry. What's happening here? Micah's family introduces idolatry in the land. A family of a guy called Micah. And here we read, verse 1, now there was a man from the mountains of Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and on which you put a curse, even saying it in my ears, here is the silver with me, I took it. What's going on here? This is Micah and his mother. They were living in the mountains of Ephraim. This lady had the money, and some commentators say that maybe she had kept it somewhere to offer it unto the Lord. And his son Micah came and stole the money, 1,100 shekels, stole the money. And the mother looked for the money everywhere, all in vain. And then he put a curse on whoever might have taken the money. Now, in verse 2 here, I don't know what had happened to Micah for him to come out and repent of his sin from the mother and say, "Mom, the money that you've been looking for, on which you put a curse, is here. I am the one who had taken it. Take it. Bring it back to you." The circumstance behind what bringing it back, we don't know. But we just see Micah refunding the money to the mother. Inside the home, remember we are in a family, the family of Micah there. And this really reminds me of how children many times steal money from their parents. In the home, the mother, the father leaves 1,000 there, 500 there, 100 shillings there. It's not yours, you come and help. Even 5,000, 10,000. Children know how to steal. Not only children. When people are living together, you can steal money for your sister. Our women steal money from their husband's pockets when they want to wash their clothes. Don't be like that. You, the girl of RBC, who is already married and who will be married in the future, don't do that. You want to wash clothes? Some men forget that they had put that money there, so not that they know. Which means even if you ate it, they will not know at all. And they say, this is an answered prayer. You use it. And if you are part of those churches, next Sunday you are on the pulpit testimony. That is the theft. The money is not yours, you need to take it back. So this is what we see here, that's what is going on here. And as we continue in verse 3, still verse 2, and his mother said, verse 2, his mother said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my son." The mother is happy. Who can't be happy? "Oh, you brought it back. Thank you, my son. Be blessed." Remember, she had put a curse there, and she's turning the curse into blessing. "Be blessed now because you brought back the money." And now see in verse 3. So, when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, "I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son, to make a carved image and a molded image. Now, therefore, I'll return it to you." Now, imagine. Now, the mother is revealing to us the secret, the reason why she had put the money aside for the Lord. Even before the son stole the money, she had put it there, just as you can get money on Monday and say, "Let me get a tithe for the Lord." And you put it aside. You say, "No, on Sunday or any other time, I'm going to give it to the Lord." So this lady had put that money aside for the Lord. She wanted all along to give it to this very son, Micah, so that he could make a carved image out of it. Remember, Israel here now is in total decline, spiritual decline. Total spiritual decline. So everyone is just thinking of whatever they want to think. She said, you know, imagine the Lord. And she's still keep calling him the Lord. So when I give it to my son at a certain time, my son is going to make a carved image so that we start worshiping it, and the Lord will be happy with that. Unfortunately, the son stole the money. Now, the son has brought it back. "Oh, thank you for bringing back the money. All along, I'd kept it for you to make a carved image for us, for the Lord. Therefore, I'm also giving it back to you, because all along, it was meant to come to you." Wow. Now therefore I will return it to you. Verse 4. Thus he returned the silver to his mother. The boy gave to the mother. Then his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the silversmith. And he made it into a carved image and a molded image. And they were in the house of Micah. Part of that money is used to make two images. Carved image and molded image. 200 shekels. And they put it in the house of Micah. Not the house. Because already Micah was a grown-up person. So this was maybe a widow, and mature widow, because Michael had a home, as you can see here. And the mother wanted the home of Micah to be sort of a shrine. Verse 5. The man Micah had a shrine. And this is what I was saying. And made an ephod and household idols. And he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Now you see, that's why I'm telling you that this was an elderly person, a mature woman, because Micah also had sons. Now, Micah had a shrine. And he makes himself an ephod. What's an ephod? It's like an apron. What you see chefs, huh? Chefs, they put on an apron. Anyone who wants to cook and you don't want that and oil to go on your clothes, you put on an apron. So it was something like that, which only high priest could put on. When you go and read your book of Leviticus, you will see that only high priest could, and other priests, but mostly Aaron and other high priests could put on that apron. Ephod. So Micah makes it and makes one of his sons. He had even sons who are not young, who were already mature enough. So even Micah himself was mature. Now he makes, everyone is deciding whatever he wants. He has got his own shrine, just as you hear many people saying, I've got my own church. My church, and churches are being these days called by people's names. Go and look at the website of some churches. You see www.billisaministries.com, www.davidnasabaministries.org. It's yours. So this was Micah's shrine. It is free to do whatever he wants. He makes an ephod himself for his son. What could he have done again? Even these days, we see the same. Why should I put David, my assistant pastor, and I have my son? This man will be peeping into every coin that comes. So I'm the senior pastor, my assistant is my son. If not my wife, my son. If my wife is my assistant, then my son will be the treasurer. This is the shrine of Micah. Churches these days look like exactly like the shrine of Micah. Now he makes an ephod for his son, so that the son can be his priest, as you can see here. I repeat verse 5. The man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. He consecrates him just like Arbis was consecrated or set apart. He makes his own small ceremony to consecrate his own son. Now imagine, this person who is consecrating a priest, who is he? Is he a high priest or a god? I don't know. He consecrates his son. Verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. This is the main verse in this chapter. The most important, the main verse. It carries the weight of this chapter 17. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did Therefore, Abraham did what was right in his own eyes. And here we see the importance of leaders. Don't take your leaders lightly, RBC members. Because when they are not there, everyone will be a leader of himself or herself, and everyone will be doing what they want. It is the leaders who help you and say, hey, brother, you started taking a wrong way. Hey, sister, I think you need to continue doing that or stop that. Leaders. The Lord raises leaders for that. That's why the Bible says that you need to obey them, submit to them, to make their task easy. When they are leading you, when they are doing things for you, they should do it easily without any problem. When they tell you, do this, do it immediately. The importance of leaders. No leader in Israel, no judge, no king, and everyone is on his own king, everyone is his own judge. Verse 7. Now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite and was staying there. I want to repeat this. Now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite. I have a question here. How can a member of the family of Judah be a Levite? Because what I know, to my little knowledge, is that Israel produced 12 sons who made the 12 tribes of Israel. And then God said, Levi, one of the sons, you will not have any inheritance. Because your people, the priests and high priests will be coming from you. So your inheritance will be among all the tribes. Now this young man from Bethlehem, I hear, is from the tribe of Judah. And he was a Levite. Which we know, what's this? Okay, I cannot wonder much because verse 6 is there for us. That everyone was free to do what pleased them. From a tribe of Judah, Levite, I don't know, maybe he was appointed. Maybe, let's consider it like that. And now this young man, 8, the man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. Then he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. Remember, he was a Levite. And the Levites used to be taken care of by all the tribes. They could really look after them well. But here, there's no worship of the living God in Israel. Everyone does what pleases him. Therefore, no one could take care of Levites. No one could take care of Levites. And this young man had to survive. He becomes an errand. Started moving up and down looking for Yeo. From Bethlehem, he's just going looking for where he can be okay. Because where he was in Bethlehem, I mean, to be Ganye, things are not working well or moving well. So he decided to move, and he finds himself on that mountain in Ephraim and in the house of Micah. 9. And Micah said to him, where do you come from? So he said to him, I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I am on my way to find a place to stay. I'm just looking for where I can stay. I'm looking for a greener pasture. Just like any Ugandan these days is looking for any greener pasture anywhere. You just want to be okay. Is it Kenya, Europe, Brazil? I'm just going looking for where to stay, where I can be okay. Do this question, let us follow down and we see where the question ends. 10. Micah said to him, dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes, and your sustenance. So the Levite went in. Then the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. So you see that even Micah was mature, because this young man became like one of his sons. Where are you going? He said, I'm just looking for a place to stay. And this reminds me of the answer of Lucifer. When the Lord asked him, where are you going? He said, I have nowhere to, I'm not going nowhere, I'm just moving, hovering around, to and fro, without any plan. Very dangerous for us, friends. You need to have a plan. Your brother, your sister in Christ gives you a call. Brother, where are you? I'm just here at home. What are you doing? I'm doing nothing. Sure. Why are you doing nothing? Why are you doing? Can anyone really be on this earth doing nothing? What about the Bible? Where is it? If you don't have work, you should be reading your Bible. I'm just here doing nothing. You hear even some others say, well, I'm just taking a walk aimlessly. No. At least say, it's my evening walk, I'm going up to Kisigla, then come back. At least you are going somewhere. You see now the danger, because this guy had no choice. He had no destination. He was just going, and when they present something to him, the heart beats, boop, boop, and he remains there. A whole Levite. It's very dangerous to be idle. It's very dangerous to be without anything we are doing. To just walk aimlessly, you don't know where you are going. Very dangerous. Now, when he heard of that, the guy is presenting things there. He says, please, you are a Levite. This guy was not satisfied. He had already made his son his priest. But when he hears that this son is a Levite now, wamurimu, professional, he said, oh, you can remain here with us and be my. Let's read that again there. Verse 10. Micah said to him, dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me. To me. All these verses are pushing us back to verse 6. In those days there was no king, therefore anyone was free to do whatever was right to his own eyes. Remain with me and be a priest to me. Not even to us. Not even to my household. To me. Just as you hear, this is my church. Therefore, David, joke around with me, I sack you tomorrow. It is my church. I am the one to appoint pastors. I saw one in Mukono here, a certain church there. There's one senior pastor. Because we entered the church and we found there, you know, they like sitting in front, in the front. In front there, we found one chair alone, forward. Then behind that one chair, nice one, behind it there are 25 other nice chairs. Then I said, I see the chairs of believers here. What about this? These are for assistant pastors. This guy has got 25 assistant pastors. So whoever enters the church, if only you have money, then you enter there, next week you'll be one of the assistant pastors. So, remain here with me and be a priest for me. And I will give you, this is a bribe, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver every year, per year. On top of that, a suit of clothes, and on top of that, your sustenance, other thing that you like. What I know, and I'm certain of it, is that A true minister of God is not supposed to receive a salary. You are not supposed to give a salary to your leaders. Why? Because they are serving their God. And the gift they have, the Lord gave them for free. Gave it to them for free. And they have to serve for free. You are not supposed to pay them a salary. But you support them. That one is okay. Support is okay. It's scriptural. Because other tribes of Israel were there to support the Levites, so that they could do the work of the Lord well without any disturbance. That is support, but not salary. That word really, at least me, I'm not saying about everyone, but at least me, I hear it is too heavy into my eyes. I say, Pastor Bill, have you received your salary for this month? I say, no, I don't want that. I don't want any salary. Allow me to serve my God. I don't want salary. If you want to support me, it's okay. So that I survive, I can be strong to serve you. Support, but not salary. So this guy is being given a salary. In those Western countries, this is how they employ people and say, okay, if you come to serve here, there's a house there for you, a car is there for you, assurance, health assurance. So those are the things that really people send people into serving. In Africa, sometimes I like the way we do our things the difficult way. Sometimes. I repeat again, sometimes. Not always. But let me see. Two churches are advertising looking for a pastor, a minister. So let me see. I don't have a church now. This one is offering $50,000 per year. This one 70. I can go with this one. This one is it 80. Oh, let me go with this one. It has got a car. Oh, friend. Yes, you might be loving your God, you want to serve him, but there is something else behind. But also here we are learning another lesson that you guys need to look after yourself, your leaders well. Look after them well. Support them well. So that they don't bother about these other jobs out there. Support them well. RBC, please. I'm talking about me, because me, I'll not be here forever. I'm saying whether I'm here or I'm not there, your leaders, love them. Support them. Make their work easy. Although this guy here, me, I call it a bribe. And the young Levite hears that, he feels dizzy, and he enters the house, and he accepts to remain there. 11, then the Levite was content to dwell with the man, was content. Why? The bribe, Amen. 2. And the young man became like one of his sons to him. 12, so Micah consecrated the Levite. Oh, what is this, Micah? Who are you? This is the Levite who was supposed to put his hands upon you to make you whatever you could be. Then you are the one again consecrating. You see, Katogo, you see this disorder here. You are a normal person. It's not just like in this church, RBC, to hear that then Jonathan consecrated David. What are you talking about? David is his pastor. What? This is real Katogo, really. Then, because now he's a CEO. The man is his to be paying this Levite. So he has to do with you whatever he wants. That's the danger, friends, to be part of these churches led by CEOs that are under the cover of pastors. Simply because they call him pastor. And I say, hey, Pastor Wange, my pastor. No, he's a CEO, chief executive officer. He is free to do whatever he wants. Now imagine a civilian, a normal person is consecrating a whole Levite. It does not make sense. It's like here, you see, in November, our church was set apart. A Levite had to come from Kisumu to put his hands on us. to consecrate us. But if now the world saw that it was you, the members of RBC, who were here kneeling and you are consecrating us, that's really katogo. That's disorder. Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as a priest." You are not satisfied with your son as priest. Now I have a Levite now as a priest. Now my shrine is strong now. My shrine has got anointing. Now, do you hear this word anointing now in churches today? I wonder. Now I have anointing because I have now a Levite as a priest. People don't know all. They know nothing about what anointing is. They just lift and expose their ignorance about anointing. One was telling me, "Hey, I need to come and visit you." But then one of just these past months, "I need to come and visit you so that I tap on the anointing of America." Is there any anointing of America? I did not know about that. And if it is there, how do you tap on it? By visiting someone? Friends, this is where the world is. Unfortunately, people don't want to see that. When you speak like this, say, you just want to... No, it's not criticizing, it's speaking the truth. So now the young man stays there. This story is really interesting. So much interesting. You know katogo, what we call katogo here in Uganda, it is the food that is mixed up with the cassava, beans. If you want, you can put there fish, meat, the mixture. This is pure katogo. But I'm not surprised because verse 6 is there for us. So whatever you continue reading down here, just go back to verse 6, which tells you that in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And I want just to end with that very verse as we end this part today, because it is continuous. Remember, I told you that part A, we are going to look at the practice of idolatry in a family that we are ending, so that we go next Sunday, the practice of idolatry by a tribe. So, but friends, listen to to verse 6, sorry. "Because there was no leader, everyone was free to do what they wanted to do." Members of RBC, please, you are not supposed to do what you want, you feel like doing. What pleases your eyes and mind. "Follow your leaders who also fetch from the precepts of God. And they tell you this is how you need to..." I'm still thankful for the members of RBC. I don't know. When I'm praying for you guys, I don't know. I don't know whether there's any other pastor who has got good members the way me and Brother David are. We have the best. Okay, any pastor can speak like that. I don't know. I can't speak for them because I don't know their members. Members here, when you tell them, "Brother, please, you should stop that. It's not a good way." There and then. Because of the love of God. "Sister, you should stop because this can put your life into danger." There and then they stop. Oh, we thank God for you guys. May you continue growing in the Lord so that you don't do what is good in your own eyes. Instead, we need to do what is good in the eyes of God. Even we pastors are not supposed to do what is good in our own eyes. We need to look to search and know what is good in the eyes of God. So that even if something was making sense to you, was making sense to me, very important to us, but if only you find that it's not according to, it's not really good in God's eyes, then you stop. We stopped a lot of things that used to make sense to us. I always tell you that me, I'm a singer. I like singing, I like jumping, and I was happy whenever I could, dance. I could dance for my God. But when I realized that, no, we need to to worship him in fear and trembling. I had to leave what I loved. I used to laugh. Doing what seems to be good in your own eyes is very dangerous. The day you start doing that, then you are about to crash with your church leadership, and after that, then be excommunicated. We are not supposed to do what is good, even as a church. We are not supposed to do. Kabota Baptist Church does not do it. Lusaka Baptist Church does not do it. Grace Baptist Church Kisumu Eldoret does not do it. Community Church, Grace Community Church doesn't. So all these biblical churches do not do it. But you say, but we are independent. We are independent church, so we have to do what we want. Sure. If all these biblical churches worldwide do not do it, you need to put there a huge question mark. Why? That means they saw it somewhere in scripture that no, do or don't do. So I'm just trying to show you the danger that is found in doing things, doing what is right in your own eyes. We as RBC, even if any other church does not do, we feel we want to do this. Please, it's a bit dangerous. Because we have the word of God that guides and leads us all. What a lesson. Samson is no more. No more judge. These people are left alone. Check. What is there? Always thank God for your leaders. Don't take your leaders for granted. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God, by the way, friends. Let me tell you the truth. This, I'm very frank and I'm sincere with you. Elsewhere, people say, oh, I wish we had leaders like you and David. I'm telling you the truth. And what I tell you, I've heard it somewhere. Oh, I wish you could just remain here forever. But you guys say, who is David? Thank God for your leaders. Pray for them. Love them. Make their work easy. Because if they are not there, you will start doing what pleases you. What you think is okay. And unfortunately, that's what is in the world today. Every Christian, every church is trying to do what is right in their own eyes. What they think is right in their own eyes. Every church. Those who want, someone feels they want to be, what do you call it in English? What's that in English? To blow. So someone to show that I have anointing, I should be blowing to my people and they follow. So that's okay. Another one scrolls like a goat, a pastor, when he's entering the church. And as he's scrolling, people are falling. So everyone is free just to do what they feel is right to them. RBC, members of RBC, don't live such a life. Always live according to the precepts of God. They are here. They are not hidden. They are there for us to open daily and read so that we do according to the precepts of God, not to the way you want. At your place of work, everywhere, at your school, where, live according to the precepts of God, not the way you feel you want to do. It's very, very dangerous. Now imagine a normal person consecrating a whole Levite. That was really a disorder. To see someone from the tribe of Judah being a Levite, I don't know. Since when? Since when the Lord did not allow members of the tribe of Judah to be Levites, only the members of the tribe of Levi would be Levites, would be priests. Now this guy from the tribe of Judah, is it because of Cheyo Chichi? As we see in Uganda here, many who are not teachers, but because of lack of employment. Someone did medicine, is a doctor. No jobs, you find him on a blackboard. So here, I'm the teacher of English. Since when? May the Lord help us, really, to learn. But I want to end with, Israel is the beloved children of Israel. You know it very well. How God used to talk well about them. You are inscribed in my palm. So when I look at you, now check. They are now idolaters. Don't take your salvation for granted. It is by grace that we are what we are. Don't say, I'm the beloved of God. No, you can't be more than Israel. But check what they were doing. It is only by grace and grace alone that we are what we are. And continue praying for that grace to continue upon your life so that you don't leave the ways of God. So that you don't leave the ways of God. And I just suggest, it's just a request that if we could end by singing this hymn, your word is light unto my feet. Forever, oh Lord, your word is standing in heaven. If we could sing that, so that his word and his grace could cover us to guide us, we follow his word, so that we don't fall from grace. I read about physical Israel with fear myself. Try to see the relationship between Israel and God, the love. My own people, on the face of the planet. Check. Idolaters. May the Lord help us, friends. We'll continue the other part next Sunday, the Lord willing. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that really we are privileged to be hearing words like these coming from your word. May you help us, Lord, not to do what is right in our own eyes, but to always move according to your precepts. Help us, Lord. We thank you that you put us here. We thank you that you teach us this truth from your word, that you put there physical Israel for us so that we could learn lessons from them, so that we could not repeat their mistakes. We thank you, Lord. Even if today we are living in the same period of time where everyone, every church is doing what is right according to their eyes, on their own eyes, Lord, help RBC and all these other churches that want to live according to your commands. Help us, Lord, all of us together in the world. And these things we pray through Christ who loved us. Amen.